All right, this is lesson two, chapter two, right? Oh, good, I prepared the right thing. It's Corinthians, yes. Okay. When Paul first arrived in Corinth, it was after his missionary work in Athens. The Athens mission produced very few converts, and Paul spoke in an amphitheater where many philosophers would gather and make speeches, and you can find that speech that Paul made in Athens in Acts chapter 17. He starts out speaking about all the religious shrines to various gods that are scattered throughout Athens, and he hones in on the shrine that is called to the unknown God. And he says that this is the God he preaches. And here's what he says and what happens at the end of the speech. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said. For we too are his offspring. Since therefore we are the offspring of God, we ought not think that the divinity is like an image fashioned from gold, silver, or stone by human art or imagination. But God has overwhelmed the times of ignorance, but now he demands, God has overlooked the times of ignorance, but now he demands that all people everywhere repent because he has established a day on which he will judge the world with justice through a man he has appointed, and he has provided confirmation for all by raising him from the dead. When they heard about resurrection of the dead, some began to scoff, but others said, we should like to hear you on this some other time. And so Paul left them, but some did join him and became believers. Among them were Dionysus, a member of the court of Areopagus, which was the amphitheater that he spoke in, and a woman named Damaris, and others with him. So to me, Paul was very eloquent in his speech to the pagan philosophers, and he's not a very eloquent speaker that we've heard, but he did not seem to have much success. You could imagine he felt dejected and probably felt as though he failed, and now he's headed to the home of moral corruption, Corinth. But in Acts 18, 9 through 10, God says to Paul, do not be afraid. Go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you. No one will attack or harm you, for I have many people in this city. So with this encouragement, St. Paul went to Corinth and shares that he arrives in weakness and fear and much trembling. But this time his preaching was simply Christ crucified. He claims in his letter that he spoke not with worldly eloquence, but through the Holy Spirit. Paul worked hard in Athens to try to speak the way worldly philosophers did, and in that time, in order to connect with the people there, and he failed. But in Corinth, he allowed the Holy Spirit to work through him in a deeper way. You can see Paul continuing to mature in his own understanding of the grace of God, that grace of God that has been poured out on him. In James 3:17, we hear, but wisdom from above is first of all pure, then peaceable, gentle, compliant, full of mercy and good fruits, with constancy and sincerity. I paraphrased a little bit. If we give ourselves to the Holy Spirit like Paul, we too can proclaim the gospel with wisdom that is pure, peaceable, gentle, compliant, and merciful, with constancy and sincerity. Could you imagine the effect of this kind of evangelization? Paul established the Christian community of Corinth through God's wisdom and the Holy Spirit. As followers of Jesus Christ, we need to do as Paul did. Rely not on our own understanding, but rely on the Holy Spirit and proclaim Christ crucified, his resurrection, and his triumph over death. Then Paul moves into more of talking about Christian maturity. In verse 9, he quotes from Isaiah 64, 2 through 3. What eye has not seen, and ear has not heard, and what has not entered the human heart, what God has prepared for those who love him. And Paul is saying that we could not possibly understand what God has for us. We are limited in our humanness, but since we have not received the Holy Spirit of this world, but the Spirit that is from God, we may understand the things freely given to us by God. In this verse, St. Paul makes the point that divine wisdom turns new Christians who are children in the faith into mature, faith-filled adults. Paul also makes the argument that it is a wisdom that those attached to this world cannot understand. So what does that mean, that divine wisdom turns new Christians into mature, faith-filled adults? As I was writing this commentary, I came to this point and I asked some of the staff members I work with how to answer this question. It was a great discussion. And each person talked about how they have matured in faith. Some said moments of crisis led to a deeper understanding of divine wisdom. Some said that trusting in divine wisdom that comes from God results in peace no matter what is going on. One staff member said, "You know, children have tantrums when they're hungry or tired. When we grow in the Lord, we find spiritual food and we find rest." These nuggets of wisdom were great, and then we talked about true maturity in faith happens when we are intentional and willing to listen. When we are intentional moving toward God and willing to listen to the Holy Spirit, we experience the divine wisdom that only God can show us. So what does it mean to be intentional in our walk with the Lord? When we are faced with a typical day, we have choices. We can wake up with a heart full of gratitude or anger or dread or joy. We can intentionally give the day to the Lord and call upon his help, or we can just hit the ground running without a thought. Let's say there's a crisis in your life that is out of your control. You can stop, breathe, call on the Lord and be willing to listen to what God has to say to you, or you can lean on your own understanding and try to solve the problem on your own. There are three ways to live life in relationship with God: actively moving toward God, being stagnant in your relationship with God, or actively moving away from God. If we are intentional in our relationship with God, we will grow in wisdom and faith. When we can take those moments to be still and know that God is God, we can open ourselves to listen and understand how God moves in our lives. Paul's point with the Corinthians is that it is through Jesus Christ that God the Father reveals himself and the divine plan for humanity's salvation. It is through divine wisdom that God gives humans the capacity, through the Holy Spirit, to understand that revelation, which is truly our end game, The joys of the kingdom of God are so immense that no one on earth can possibly understand the full extent of God's wondrous plan. But if we are intentional in our relationship with God, we can see glimpses here and there. Here's the good news. 1 Corinthians 2:12 through 13. We have not received the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the things freely given us by God. And we can speak about them, not with words taught by human wisdom, but with words taught by the Spirit, describing spiritual realities in spiritual terms. When we, by the power of the Holy Spirit and the sacrament of baptism, are reborn by water and the Spirit into the family of God, and the Holy Spirit teaches people baptized by the Spirit in a new kind of perception that defies human wisdom. When we intentionally stop, breathe, be still, and call on the Holy Spirit, we can tap into the divine wisdom of God and take steps to handle this earthly life while preparing for our eternal heavenly life with God.